Hello again. This is Mike Weaver. Welcome to Unit Number 4 of the Achiever Training Program. Hopefully you've already experienced Units 1, 2, and 3 and are already building an in-depth understanding of the Achiever and its value in the marketplace in selecting employees, people to positions where in those positions they perform well. If perhaps you had to bypass Unit 1, the foundation unit, I would suggest that at some point you go back and listen to that important unit. So again, welcome to Unit 4. In this unit, we're going to cover the last three of the personality dimensions yet to be covered, dimension D8 mental toughness, D9 questioning, and D10 motivation. We will also cover the validity scales of distortion and equivocation. In the time remaining, we'll cover as many sample profiles and analysis of those sample profiles as we can in the time allocated to the length of the session. Would suggest, as we have in the past at the beginning of the last unit, that you may want to have for reference page 3 of the supporting document and also page 6. Page 3 is the personality and behavior diagram showing the sources of personality and behavior as biochemistry, heredity, and conditioning. And page 6 is the standard, we use that for reference, Achiever Report Summary Form. With no further ado, let me proceed to dimension D8, mental toughness. Mental toughness, dimension D8, is all about sensitivity. People on the low end of this dimension have a very high degree of sensitivity. On the positive side, that says that they are sensitive to other people. They read other people very well. They tend to have great deals of empathy for other people, the challenges and the problems of other people. But this sensitivity cuts two ways. It also means that they are extremely sensitive themselves. They do not handle feedback well. They do not handle criticism well. Seldom do we find a salesperson that is successful, that is low on this dimension, simply because they have a great deal of difficulty handling rejection, which is a natural and normal part of selling. So the sensitivity extends in both positive and negative directions. The sensitivity is not just intellectual or mental, it's even physical. We know from experience in the seminar work that when we have a room full of people who will either ask us to continually adjust the temperature in the room or another group, which seldom even brings it up, if we have a very large percentage of the group that is low on this dimension and is extremely sensitive, they are sensitive to light, temperature, all kinds of things in the physical environment, and we'll get a lot of disagreement on what the room temperature should be and spend a lot of time adjusting the thermostat. If, on the other hand, we have a group of people that are on the high end of this dimension, relatively speaking, are insensitive, they will never bring it up. They may sit there and feel a little cold, or they may sit there and feel a little warm, but they won't bother us with readjusting the thermostat. A simplistic example, perhaps, but it's real-life, real-world experience. How does conditioning come about? And we need to emphasize that this dimension, as the previous one, competitiveness, are entirely conditioned. If we have, and I'll give you an extreme example, suppose we have a single parent who is a female, and she's raising a small boy. The small boy gets into an altercation, a few fisticuffs, with somebody in his class. And let's suppose he's a 7 or 8 or 9 year old, and he comes home and explains what happens to mom. She suggests that he have some milk and oatmeal and lay down and take a nap, and if he does have a few scratches, perhaps he'll get a Mercurochrome bunny rabbit on the scratch. Here we have the makings of somebody who is an adult will tend to be overly sensitive. This is a conditioning process. Admittedly, my example is extreme, but let me give you the other half of it. It's a single parent. The parent here is a male, and just to exaggerate this, Dad is a Marine Corps drill instructor. The young lad comes back explaining what happened in the ball field today, and the dad said, go back out there and square that away and don't come back until you do. Is this an exaggerated example? Yes, but does it make the point of how conditioning on this dimension takes place? I hope it does. On the high end of the scale, we have people that are more insensitive. They are extremely tough-minded. They are resilient. They never give up on things. People on the low end of the scale many times simply quit too soon on things. And if they'd stuck it out another period of time, would have been successful. Most of the evidence is that small businesses that fail many times, I think the number is around 80%, have failed within 1 to 1.5 years of making the business work. They simply quit too soon. Not so with the person on the high end of the scale. They will stick with it. They are persistent. They are mentally tough. They are insensitive to criticism. They are insensitive to weather conditions. We could also include in this dimension the idea of aesthetics, people that are more oriented towards the arts, people that might have a Japanese garden in their backyard. Those are the people on the low end of this scale, sensitive to fashion, sensitive to clothing, sensitive to any kind of art. Where on the high end of the scale, people on the high end of the scale are pretty impervious to any of that and have very little interest in any of it. The reality, of course, is that most of us are somewhere in between. From the standpoint of key selling positions or key leadership and management positions, the suggested range on this dimension is probably 6 or 7. And 5 would be okay, and 8 would be okay as long as we can handle some of the insensitivity. Keep in mind that the people on the high end of the scale have a level of sensitivity about equal to your average cinder block, and they can get crosswise with a lot of people. It's important to understand that the 3 drive dimensions, the dimensions that we've already talked about, assertiveness, competitiveness, and mental toughness, that although assertiveness is predominantly sourced in heredity, the other 2 dimensions, including this one, competitiveness and mental toughness, are entirely conditioned. So when we look at the drive dimensions, it's important to look at the trio, at the combination, and how that averages out. So this is dimension D8 is all about sensitivity. Our next dimension is dimension D9, questioning. This is a dimension that gives us insight as to how individuals see other people. In one sense, one could view that as how people see the world. People on the high end of this scale have a generally negative view of people. At the extremely high end of the scale, they tend to be cynical, tend to question other people continually, are very judgmental about the behaviors of others, and have a sort of generally negative view of people in the world that they're in. On the low end of the scale, we have the reverse situation. Here we have people that generalize in the positive. They have an astounding belief in people as individuals and collectively. The net result there is at times they are taken advantage of by people that don't deserve their trust. People on the high end of the scale tend to lack trust in others. People on the low end of the scale have situations where at times they are too trusting. One could argue that we would certainly tend to favor a situation where people lean towards a belief in people And I think that's a generally supportive argument. Where would we really like to be on this dimension? Probably a Stannine range of perhaps 4 through 7. In my own terminology there, I would call that the shrewd range. And by shrewd, I mean a positive situation where the person refuses to generalize about people, either in the negative, the high end of the scale, or generalize about them in the positive, the low end of the scale. In the shrewd range, rather than generalizing about people, the idea is to deal with people and relate to people one at a time based on your experience with that person. This is obviously an extremely important dimension and has a lot to do with interpersonal skills and the judgments we make about other people. The shrewd range, we would tend to make judgments that are generally fair, whereas if we're on the high end of this scale, we would certainly make judgments that tend to be counter to good working relationships with people. Where on the low end of the scale, we would tend to favor bending over backwards to work effectively with people. This dimension is entirely conditioned or entirely learned. It is important to understand that most of the evidence is that when someone is very high on this dimension, a cynic, a skeptic, that many times in early life, they have been led by circumstances, environment, or whatever, to learn to distrust an adult or the world around them. This could be the idea of a broken home, etc. It's interesting that when people have the high end of the scale position, that they probably got that relatively early, and it is very difficult and unlikely that they will reverse that view over time. It's also interesting that on the low end of the scale, we might be surprised at times what we find in actually working with people with the achiever. If we were working with an inner city police department, which we have, we're dealing with people who have seen some of the worst behaviors in human beings on an almost daily basis. We would imagine that by this time they are skeptics and cynics. It turns out that this is not the case. In fact, the average police officer, the average law enforcement officer, scores mid-range on this dimension, or even maybe a Stannine 3 or 4, because one of their motivations in getting in that line of work was really driven by their need to help others and to understand others. So the environment that the policeman has been in, they seem to be able to overcome that, and their core belief in people seems to sustain them at least to some degree. The other side of this is that police people many times get into that line of work because they do like being in a position of power and influence. And here again, it's complex because at the same time, one of their motives is to do social good or to be involved in some kind of work that has socially redeeming value. So that's a complex issue by itself. This is dimension D9, questioning. And it has to do with how the respondent views other people and, in one sense, how they view the world. Let's move now to the last of the 10 achiever personality dimensions, a very important dimension, motivation. And as we get into this dimension, let's review the sourcing of each of the other dimensions. Dimension D1 energy. Has all three of the sources involved: heredity, biochemistry, and conditioning. And the biochemistry part does have some significant role here, but all three of the inputs are involved. Flexibility is entirely conditioned, but it's the subconscious dimension of personality, conditioned very early and therefore very challenging to change. Organization, work habits, entirely conditioned. Something that can really actively and productively be worked on. Communication has a component of biochemistry in it, although pretty slight, and most of the drive of communication is conditioning and to some degree heredity, But the predominant thing in communication, I would say, is conditioning with some minor input from the other two sources. Emotional development is almost entirely heredity and conditioning. Assertiveness, very interestingly, 85% heredity, very difficult to change. People low in this dimension in key roles in organizations have to learn to role play a more assertiveness, as we stated earlier, saving up their big guns for the big game. Competitiveness, the second of the drive dimensions, entirely conditioned or learned. Mental toughness, all about sensitivity, entirely conditioned or learned. Questioning, our view of people, entirely conditioned or learned. Many times conditioned very early, particularly when the results are someone who has a fairly cynical or negative view of life. We now come to motivation. This is the dimension that tells us what motivates an individual. People on the low end of the scale, motivated by security and stability, want to know if they do a good job that they'll always have one. These people are risk averted. They have relatively low achievement drive, and they're best at any kind of position that requires a routine, a lack of risk-taking, and a sense of comfort and security. On the high end of the scale, we have the very obvious high achievement drive person. They let you know who they are. There's ambition here. There's not only a willingness to accept change. People on the very high end of this scale don't resist change. They're the kind of people that tend to trigger the change that is required. So this is a dimension that has great impact on the work environment and has to be considered carefully in the selection process. This dimension is influenced by heredity, biochemistry, and conditioning, and all three of those factors play a significant role. The biochemical part of this is related primarily to uric acid. This can actually be measured, and people that have a high level of that are those people that are in the high end of the dimension with very high achievement drive. Sort of beyond what we may want to get into in this kind of discussion, but one of the signs of high uric acid is gout. And it's very interesting, if you look at historical people who have had gout, it's many of our presidents, it's Winston Churchill, it goes on and on. So there's almost a validation that biochemistry is involved as a part, and only a part, of the people's level of achievement drive. So this is motivation, extremely important. The higher on the scale, the more the person will tend to take risks. And it should be noted, when somebody gets up to stay 9-9, they are risk takers, and in any area of stay 9, 6, 7, and 8, the risk taking is usually reasonably rational. When we get to stay 9-9, we have the potential for somebody being a risk taker where the risks are not necessarily well thought out. If we're trying to build a business, build a company, build a department, build a team, the people most effective here are those with high achievement drive, and many times we hope that part of their achievement drive is to develop the people around them as a part of assuring the survival and the success of the organization they're in. So this is dimension D10, motivation, an extremely important dimension. Before we come to the discussing the validity dimensions, distortion and equivocation, I would like to raise the issue that I'm asked this question many times. Can people really move their position on any of the dimensions of an achiever? And the answer is any dimension that's conditioned, or at least partly conditioned, can be reconditioned if there's commitment or purpose or reason for doing it. And then I will be asked, well, what happens when somebody moves from one position on the scale to the other? Let's take a simple example of, we talked just recently about tough-mindedness. And suppose we have someone who scores as pretty sensitive on the low end of the scale, and they would like to be a little more tough-minded. They could certainly use goal setting and some other techniques to build in stamina and mental toughness. And if they did that over a period of time, the potential would exist that they could move up one or two stanines on that particular dimension. The question I get asked is, well, do they leave behind the characteristics they had before when they take on the new characteristics? My judgment would be that the answer is no, they do not. The sensitivity that was reflected in the person's score in the first place on tough-minded is still there. They still have a degree of sensitivity. But what's happened is they have built the high end of the scale, the mental toughness. So they've moved up the scale not by giving up what they were, but by adding a dimension or a sense of personality on the high end of the scale. So I don't think we ever give up what we were, but we can build in new dimensions, new potentialities into our personality. And that's one of the things that's actually exciting about the achiever, that on the conditioned dimensions, which is many of them, you can actually influence who you are, what you do. An interesting aspect to the dimension. It's not an issue of giving up what you were. It's an issue of expanding who you are by taking on some additional new attributes and strengths. Now let's take a look at the two validity dimensions. Dimension V1, distortion, and V2, equivocation. The equivocation dimension is really a direct measure of decisiveness. The more decisive people towards the lower end of the scale, the less decisive people at the high end of the scale. It is more important that I help you understand the implications of the distortion scale. When people score at stanine 1 on the distortion scale, the validity of the personality part of the profile, the only part of the profile that distortion applies to, is about 95%, a very valid profile. At stanine 2 or 3, we have a profile that's valid at about the 90% level. And at stanine 4 or 5, we still have a personality profile that's very valid, valid about the 85% level. At stanine 7, and at stanine 6, I should say, we still have a validity of 80%, still very strong. When we get to stanine 7, we have a validity that we consider marginal. The validity may range between as high as 75% or possibly as low as 50%, but we still feel we can extract useful information from it. At stanine 8 or 9, the distortion is so high that we are not saying the profile is invalid. What we are saying is we cannot vouch for the validity. People distort for one of two reasons. Either a deliberate, overt attempt to beat the evaluation, so to speak, or a rationalization of their own behavior so they have trouble describing themselves honestly and in a candid and straightforward manner. The problem is that independent of the cause of the distortion, whether they're misrepresenting themselves to you deliberately or they're not telling themselves the truth about their own behavior, either of those are negative. So distortion is something that really has to be paid attention to. Within the achiever, there are six questions that determine the distortion score. The average person distorts on two of those questions. When people start distorting on more than two of the six questions, they start to drive the distortion scale up to the right. There are six questions involved in the achiever that determine distortion. I am not going to cover them here only because some of you listening to this training may decide to take the achiever yourselves, and I'm not sure that I want to prejudice your results by telling you what the distortion questions are. If I did that, you could simply avoid them. I think we need to let nature take its course, and I would suggest if you've never taken the achiever, be as candid and straightforward as you can, because if you're not, it will show up in the distortion. Obviously, the distortion scale is extremely important because we want to be sure that when we're looking at the personality part of the profile, that we're looking at something that is valid. The distortion dimensions can be an aggravation to people using the Achiever if they have a candidate that they like for other reasons in the selection process, but the person distorts. I will suggest to you that over years of experience with the Achiever, though, hiring anyone with a very high distortion level seldom in practice works out in a positive way. Now we'll move to close down unit number 4 of the Achiever Training Program. To do this, we're going to cover a family of 6 hypothetical profiles to give you a little sense of how we might look at combinations of dimensions in the profile. We hope by your involvement in the this unit and the prior units that you have a much better understanding of the individual dimensions and what they measure. Real understanding, and not just understanding, but real appreciation of the power of this amazing instrument lies in the experience of beginning to understand how various combinations among the dimensions interact and act together. That comes only with experience of working with many achievers. For our clients that use the Achiever in hiring with almost everybody in their organization, many of them have become, through sheer weight of experience and discussion with others, real experts on the Achiever. If you're new to the Achiever, that kind of level of expertise will come only with experience of using the Achiever. A last thought before we get into 6 hypothetical profiles for you to sort of analyze and consider. We'd also mention the words of Dr. John Shirley when he said, "It is the goodness of fit of the personality structure to the job that determines the benefit that people will get out of whatever mental aptitudes they do have." You can have very strong mental aptitudes, but if the personality is a poor fit, you will not benefit from those mental aptitudes. On the other hand, if your mental aptitudes are maybe not as high as even the average person, but you have an excellent fit for the job, you will get maximum mileage out of those mental aptitudes that you do possess. It's also important to get a feel for the fact that when you look at the 10 personality dimensions, when you see a very integrated program, an integrated result, reading from left to right, meaning that the entire range in the 10 dimensions encompasses maybe only 3 or 4 stanines left to right, you have a very well integrated profile. You have a sign that there's a lot of countervailing forces at work within the person that might make it more difficult to predict their given behavior in a given situation. That's a well-integrated profile, and many times it can lead to a relatively quick analysis of whether or not this person's a good fit for the job. More challenging is a profile where there are fairly wide swings from left to right in the stanine system among the 10 dimensions. Now we have some dimensions that indicate some conflict within the person, some countervailing forces within the person. And that can lead to more difficulty in assessing what the probable behaviors will be in most situations most of the time. So let's move now to the first profile. And within your document associated with the Achiever training, we're going to be looking at pages 9 through 14. 9 through 14, 6 hypothetical profiles. Let's begin with a discussion of the profile on profile number 1 on Joe Machine. This is on page 14 in your supporting document. When we look at Joe's profile, we first of all notice that on the mental aptitudes, he's generally very strong, probably averages about a stanine 7 overall, upper 23% of the population. His vocabulary lags behind his mental acuity score, and normally they develop together. Anytime the vocabulary lags behind the mental acuity score, it typically indicates that the person is not much of a reader. when you look at his memory recall score, which we prefer to call awareness, he's a stay 9-9. So he is very aware of things, very well informed. But because he's probably not a reader, indicated by his vocabulary score, most of his awareness probably comes from observation of the world around him or by way of the electronic media, radio, TV, etc. It's also indicated that he's very high on mechanical interest, so hopefully he's in a position where the work he's doing takes advantage of his high score on mechanical interest. When we turn to the personality, the first thing I would call out is that on flexibility, he's a stay 9-8. This is a person with very traditional values, a work ethic, sense of personal responsibility. And right below that, you'll see on the organization dimension, very strong organization ability, a planful person, a person who prioritizes things well. When you have a high score on flexibility and a high score on organization, you have somebody who is literally a production machine, a work machine. This is a very productive person. If we move down and look at some other dimensions on the personality, we'll notice on communication, he's a fairly private person, not a real sociable person, but he probably doesn't have too much time to talk because he's working hard all of the time. If you look at his assertiveness and competitiveness and mental toughness, the drive dimensions, very positive, averaging about a stay 9-7. And in particular on the mental toughness dimension. Here is somebody who has traditional values and work ethic, very structured and organized, and mentally tough, never gives up on anything. On the motivation dimension, we see that he is motivated primarily by security. This is not somebody that's necessarily driven by the need for upward mobility, advancement, and so forth. But this is a very productive employee who is satisfied to be in the position he's within reason, and is going to be productive probably no matter where he is. There's a lot of organizations and positions that have many jobs where they should probably hire Joe Machine. Our next hypothetical profile is that of number two, Jane Persons. This is page 10 in your supporting documentation for the Achiever Training. Page 10, Jane Persons. The first thing that's very obvious is that this is a very gifted person from the standpoint of mental aptitudes. Stay 9-8, upper 4% of the population on mental acuity. Breaks the bank, stay 9-9 on business terms, suggesting strong business experience and or education. Very tuned into the world around her on the memory recall dimension. Again, we prefer to call awareness, and a superior vocabulary. Numerical perception, also above average. Mechanical interest, very low. Mechanical things, concepts, those kinds of issues are not Jane's real cup of tea. And she's probably not employed in some kind of a role or a position that demands that she would be higher on mechanical interest. When we look at her personality profile, we look at the top three dimensions, pretty average in the overall population. When we come to dimension D4 communication, we see that she's highly sociable. On emotional development, she scores a stay 9-7, a high level of patience and tolerance with difficult people in difficult situations. Combine the high sociability with the patience and tolerance with people, and then move down to the competitiveness dimension. Jane is not that competitive. She is not that strong on goal-directed behavior. What she is collaborative, cooperative, a team player. She's going to be sensitive to how people view her. She's going to be very sensitive to how she deals with, interacts with other people. And on the mental toughness dimension, she leans somewhat towards the sensitive side of the scale. Finally, on questioning, she views people with a very positive view. She is not so low that we would consider her naive, but she has such a high level of belief in people that occasionally she will be taken advantage of by people who don't deserve her trust. This is a person that is sociable, outgoing, team player, collaborative, cooperative, wants to be liked, has a significant degree of sensitivity towards others, and a strong belief in people. I would certainly hope that Jane is in some kind of position related to interpersonal relationships, perhaps some role in the human resource area or in training, or perhaps healthcare, nursing, etc. Jane Persons is a very good fit for certain kind of positions that will take advantage of her sensitivity, her belief in others, and certainly just as importantly, her very high mental aptitudes. Let's look now at the hypothetical profile number 3 for Tony DeGrande. This is page 11 in your document supporting the Achiever training. Let's take a look first at Tony's mental aptitudes. On mental acuity, the most powerful mental aptitudes, he is a Stein 9-4. This is the lower 40% of the population, so he's a little below average on quickness to learn, judgment, problem solving, and reasoning ability. It's Stein 9-3 on business terms. It suggests very little business experience or business education, and not a lot of vocabulary to communicate in business subjects. His awareness is very good, dimension A3, where he's a Stein 9-8. Vocabulary, very poor, very poor. As we've mentioned earlier in the training, anytime the vocabulary is that poor, it tends to handicap the person that's completing the 40 questions of the Achiever that go into the mental acuity score. It is very probable that his mental acuity score is either a Stein 9-4 as shown, or if he was significantly handicapped by the low vocabulary and therefore his reading speed, it's possible the mental acuity might be a Stein 9 higher. Probably not two Stein 9s higher, and probably the Stein 9-4 that's depicted, or maybe even Stein 9-5. He has very high scanning accuracy. He processes any kind of visual information accurately, rapidly, and without fatigue. And he's also very high on mechanical interest. So the first thing that occurs to us here is he should be in some kind of job that has a fair amount of repetition, where he doesn't depend on a lot of mental quickness and learning, etc. And also a job where his scanning accuracy could be an advantage, and coupled with his strong mechanical interest. So this suggests some kind of role in a more production-oriented, repetitive kind of task, particularly in possibly in manufacturing or some aspects of warehousing, retailing, etc. When we look at his actual profile, there's some complexities in it. On the energy dimension, he's relatively calm. He has very traditional values and very strong organization. So in this sense, he looks a lot like Joe Machine in that he is probably a very productive person. Some of the complexities in his profile, he has a very strong need to communicate. He's a sociable person. He has a strong need to communicate, and yet his effectiveness in communication is going to be limited by his very poor vocabulary. So the motivation to communicate and work with and relate to other people is there, but his skill in communication is going to be limited, again, by the vocabulary situation. On the drive dimensions, assertiveness, competitiveness, mental toughness, he averages out about mid-range. So if we look at that overall as results-oriented behavior, he's about average there. On questioning, unfortunately, Tony leans strongly towards a negative view of people and, to some degree, the world. That's probably a negative in almost any employee, and is certainly negative for the employee themselves. He is almost entirely security motivated. This person does not have a lot of achievement drive, does not have a lot of embracement of change. He wants a position with relatively low risk. He will be productive, best in a job that does not have a lot of challenge, change that he has to adapt to, because his learning rate is below average. So a production-oriented job probably involving the advantage of high scanning accuracy and the strong mechanical interest. But this is a person that is very strongly security motivated. He is not change oriented. And on the questioning dimension, there is the negative aspect of a degree of cynicism or skepticism in his makeup. Tony DeGrande, hypothetical profile number three. Let's take a look now at our hypothetical profile number four. This is the profile for Justin Chaos. And this profile is, to a degree, an example of chaos because of its complexity. To begin with, we have superior mental aptitudes, no question. Everything stay nine, seven, eight, or nine. This is a person with tremendous mental aptitude gifts. How effective they will be in the workplace is going to be determined, however, by the goodness of fit of their personality to the requirements of the position. We have deliberately positioned this as an extremely complex profile, far more complex than the average profile that you will ever have to look at or experience. So let's start through this. Dimension D1 energy, he's a stay 9-2. Tremendous ergic energy and tension in the neurological system. Low attention span, inability to focus on anything for any length of time, very prone to stress and stress-related illnesses, not a good position to score in. If Justin knows his own makeup, he would be sure he's heavily involved in regular exercise because he needs to burn out all of the tension. From the standpoint of body aging, his body is aging way in advance of his chronological age, whatever that might be. We'll jump down to and go to dimension D10 motivation. When we look at the dimension on energy, we're talking about the internal body energy or ergic energy in the respondent. When we look at the motivation dimension, there's a component of energy there also. But it's not the internal body agent, it's the life force, the vitality the person brings to the world. So we have a very complex situation here in Justin in that he has very high tension in the neurological system, which is a negative. He also has very high life force or vitality, the external tension. So here we have someone with all kinds of things going on internally in the body from the standpoint of energy, but at the same time, a tremendous vitality or drive or life force to achieve and to get things done. This is the kind of person, if they have to stay up all night to get the Jones report done, they'll get it done. Look, however, at his flexibility, situational, expedient, tends to make decisions based on the short term, not considering long-term consequences, will tend to be manipulative, inconsistent, and unpredictable. So now we have the tension in dimension D1 energy, and now we have the lack of consistency and predictability on the flexibility dimension, and the tendency be a person that tends to manipulate people. On organization, he scores as very structured. On communication, highly sociable. And when we combine high sociability with the situationality on the flexibility dimension, we have somebody that tends to manipulate and achieve things by working through people and communicating, but not in an honest way. On emotional development, we add to the problems we've already identified. Does not handle any situation maturely from an emotional reaction standpoint. This is somebody that deals primarily with as we talked about in the training, the emotion of the thalamus as opposed to the logic of the cortex. This is somebody that is continually frustrated, continually impatient with things. On assertiveness, he breaks the bank. Strong need to control. Strong need to control. Competitiveness, highly competitive. Mental toughness, very tough. Questioning, to add to our difficulty, somebody that tends to be a cynic or a skeptic about people. This is an extremely complex profile. We designed it that way. Very probably, you or I will never see a profile quite like this. I hope not. This is not a person that I would consider for almost any kind of role in an organization. This was number four, Justin Chaos, well named. Hypothetical profile number five, Una Certain. Kind of close to uncertain. And that's what her profile is, uncertain. If we look at the mental aptitudes, we'll see that they are average generally, numerical perception being a little below average, but those are average mental aptitudes. When we look at the profile, we immediately see one hallmark of the profile. She has the calm, tolerant pattern. On D1 energy, she has a very, very low sense of physical urgency about anything. When we look at her emotional development dimension, she has a very low sense of emotional urgency about anything. As we mentioned before, this is called the calm, tolerant pattern. So how about the rest of the pattern? Let's look at the drive dimensions. Assertiveness, competitiveness, and mental toughness. Assertiveness, very strong. Competitiveness, above average. Mental toughness, above average. Lumping all those together, this is somebody, if we look just at those three dimensions, somebody with a great desire to get results, to achieve results. So what do we have here? We have an incredibly complex profile. On one hand, we have the calm, tolerant pattern, low orientation to results. And on the other hand, on the drive dimensions, we have drive dimensions that indicate an above average level of drive and results. This is aided and abetted by her score on motivation, where she has very high achievement drive. So what wins out here? The calm tolerant pattern or the score on the drive dimensions coupled with the motivation? We don't know for sure. If I were gambling and reading this profile, I would say that probably the drive dimensions and the high motivation drive may tend to override much of the calm tolerant pattern. But this is the kind of profile where our ability to predict Una's behavior in most situations most of the time, making that prediction becomes even more problematic because of the forces at work in her personality. Here, the conflict between the calm tolerant pattern and the strong position on the drive dimensions coupled with the motivation. Again, my judgment would be that the drive dimensions and the motivation would tend to override, at least to some degree, the calm tolerant pattern. A very complex profile. Finally, in reviewing our six hypothetical profiles, let's look at profile number six, Able Leader. Able is a candidate for a management position. And as such, when we ran his achiever, we ran it against the suggested ranges for top performing managers and leaders. The gray bars indicate the suggested ranges. A quick inspection shows that he scores within the suggested ranges in most of the dimensions. On the 10 personality dimensions, he is within range, the suggested range on 8 of the 10 dimensions, and only on 2 dimensions, mental toughness and questioning, is he out of range, and in both those cases only by 1 stainine. When we drop down and look at his validity scales also, at stainine 4, he had very strong validity compared to most respondents. The validity of his profile at stainine 4 is about 90 to 95%, so a very valid profile. When we look at his mental aptitudes, very, very strong. Numerical perception is only average, and mechanical interest, again, only average. But on mental acuity, business terms, memory recall or awareness, and vocabulary, very, very strong. When we look at his personality profile, the top half of the profile very strong, always within suggested ranges. When we get to the drive dimensions of assertiveness, competitiveness, and mental toughness, we see that he's solidly within range on two of them, and only on mental toughness is he 1 stay 9 outside the range. He leans a little more towards the sensitive side of the scale than the average top manager. It's also true that on questioning, the way he views people, he leans just a little 1 stay 9 worth towards a belief in people. That means at times, probably and frequently in his case, he could be taken advantage of by people that don't deserve his trust. So he does have a little sensitivity and empathy for people. He could at times be the kind of leader that has trouble dealing with non-performance, particularly if it involved termination and so forth. But overall, this is a very strong leadership and management position. And in most organizations, I would certainly recommend hiring an able leader. As we wind down the Achiever training, I want to thank you again for listening. If you're involved in the Achiever now, I hope you have a greater appreciation for the depth of this instrument, the value of the instrument, and how truly amazing it is in helping you get people that can perform well in the positions where you need high performance. Keep in mind the idea is to match people to positions for performance. Thank you for spending time with me. If you have any questions on the Achiever, contact me and I'll be glad to discuss the Achiever with you. I spend a lot of my life discussing Achievers. I hope you have found this interesting and above all, useful to you. Thanks for being with me. This is Mike signing off.